Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Hey, what's happening, Rush Nation? It's Murph here. I hope you are well. Firstly, apologies. So there was no waiver wire show from me over the last couple of days. I do apologize. I should have put something more on the socials, being a bit clearer. I'm currently traveling through Ireland. I will be back at some point, and we'll be back for the flagship show tomorrow. So just being busy few days with me, with London, then Belfast and Dublin and everywhere else. So been really difficult to sit down on the mics and get some time in, but I was keen to do something ASAP. And obviously the waiver wire period expired for this week. I did send some people that asked some tips, and it kind of got me thinking into wanting to do a show. I think we're at a really good point of the season now to think about strategy going forward. There's a lot of fantasy managers getting in touch that are struggling with teams. They're not really all firing on all cylinders, and it's not a time to panic, but it's a time for action. And it ties in nicely with the waiver wire this week. I feel the waiver wire for me personally this week feels a bit of a trap. I feel like players like Demarcado are potentially sort of real trap plays that would get you into a bit of difficulty this season if you overbid on them. And I just want to exercise some caution on waiver wire pickups. You know, we're very clear with the strategy here. When I'm looking at players to pick up on the waiver wire, I'm looking at players that are going to improve my team in the short, the medium, and the long term. And I'm looking at players that might not improve my team at all, but have that profile to succeed. And there's a clear pathway to success that I want to invest in on, and would mean being ahead of the game. And I talked about Jerome Ford at length being one of those players. Stocks talked about Puka Nacua. I talked about Tutu Atwell potentially being a good fantasy ad that is only looking better now that Van Jefferson has been traded. And I talked about, even just 2 weeks ago, running backs to add. And I talked about Rico Dowdle. And I talked about a number of running backs and why I would prioritize adding those running backs if a situation was to change. And you noticed Ingram and Demarcado weren't on that list. because that offense isn't particularly bad. I mean, it's better than expected. Like, I'm not sitting here and I'm not downing the Chargers. They've moved the ball really well. They've rushed the ball really well. They've scored points. That offense is decent. But their usage, you know, we're talking about James Conner, hasn't been a particularly great fantasy asset. And he is the clear number one with a clear path to a good amount of touches. And the Cardinals tip their hand. So you've got DeMarcado, because Ingram is slightly banged up. And then what did they do? They picked up Tony Jones. And that tips the hand of where they think the strengths of these backs are, that they've bought in Tony Jones. And I see Tony Jones being a goal line vulture, maybe a short distance back, maybe could even get some first down work. I still think Ingram is the guy out of the three I'd want to own. I think DeMarcado for a 1 week play is not bad. And if you've picked up those sorts of players for 1 week play, that's fine as long as you haven't overspent. And the percentage of your fab budget is really key. Now, if you're in a league that's not fab and you picked up DeMarcado, then you know, fine. You know, you've done what you do. It works, it doesn't work, it doesn't cost you that much. But if you went 50% of fab on DeMarcado this week, you're going to struggle to get the value back on that. And the impact that will have on the rest of your season is going to be really dangerous. Other players similar to that, KJ Osborne looks like a really good short-term option to get you through some bye weeks, especially maybe bye week 7, which is quite a big bye week. I like the short-term play on KJ Osborne. I didn't mind throwing 5%, 10% fab on a player like KJ Osborne. Or if you're in a deeper league, these players like DeMarcado, like Osborne, are worth throwing more fab at because there aren't that many players left on the waiver wire. So it makes sense. But if you're in a standard league with 5 or 6 bench spots, these are the guys that are going to turn over on your roster. You're not going to own DeMarcado in 4 weeks, 5 weeks time. It's just not going to, he's not going to be on your roster. So for you to sacrifice half of your fab budget for him just seemed a bit crazy. And I've seen some numbers this morning where the numbers were wild. And I was like, okay. So it kind of made me want to go on and say this week was a trap week for waivers. And so I go back to what I said a couple of weeks ago, and this goes back to your bench and your roster management. It's very difficult right now with bye weeks, and bye weeks are coming thick and fast. And in terms of those bye weeks, you have to sit here and plan a little bit ahead. But it's also about just making sure that you've got relevant cover to a degree, but then also you're not sacrificing your long-term projects. So this week's not a bad bye week. You know, you've got the Packers and the Steelers. Now, I hope you don't have too many Steelers on your roster. You might have a Najee Harris. Deontay Johnson will be on IR, and if you've got an IR spot, he's not hurting you right now. So that's great. I can't, you know, George Pickens. So they're kind of the three, maybe Jaylen Warren, are kind of the only players you're going to have. I'd like to think most leagues aren't rostering Kenny Pickett unless it's a super flex, and then that's fine. You should have, Kenny Pickett shouldn't be in your lineup, I'd like to think. And if he is, then I hope to think you've got somebody else that you can bring it. So I don't imagine that the Steelers bye week is a huge one that's going to make you suffer. The Packers a little bit more so. Aaron Jones, Jordan Love, if you've been playing him the last couple of weeks, you know, will cause a few problems. Maybe Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, and Christian Watson. You know, there could be a little bit of a... But you hopefully haven't invested. I don't see any of these players, other than Aaron Jones and Najee Harris, being early picks in drafts. So I'd like to think that you've got plenty of cover for them and you should be okay. So it's not a bad bye week to, and this is where I felt that this waiver run was a bit of a trap, because I was looking at it thinking, I don't want to add these guys, KJ Osborne in a few places maybe, but I didn't want to go crazy over what I had on my bench and what I would have to give up for these players, because I don't feel anyone this week that was a heavy target was one worth really investing in your long-term vision. I think maybe if you're a one-win team, you might have to abandon the long-term play and think about week to week. And maybe you might have had to have spent more on DeMarcado. But 2 wins onwards, I don't think you really need to. I think you need to think about the next couple of weeks, especially week seven. You know, six teams on bye: the Panthers, the Bengals, the Cowboys, the Texans, the Jets, and the Titans. Okay, the Jets aren't going to affect you too much, probably not even the Titans, barring Derrick Henry and Nuke Hopkins. But the rest of them have all got some assets that need to be covered to a certain degree. And you need to start thinking ahead a little bit about roster management. And I talked about a couple of weeks ago, having, as I've said, those running backs and stocking your team of running backs, because running backs are dropping. They're dropping like flies. We lost Devon Achane this week. We lost James Conner this week. You know, he's going to IR. You know, we've lost a few. We also lost Justin Jefferson this week. And, you know, injuries are coming. And it's about succeeding and finding opportunities to players that aren't very well owned, that have a pathway to a big role. And that's where Jerome Ford was really attractive. That's where someone like Nico Dowdle, to me, is really attractive. Because if Tony Pollard gets injured, Rico Dowdle, for me, is going to have a long path to fantasy relevance. And they're the guys that I want to be playing on. And I'm thinking about the long-term plays. And I've been asked some questions about certain players. And I've looked at certain rosters this week of people that have asked me to look at them. And I'm seeing a lot of Dalvin Cook. I'm seeing a lot of Ezekiel Elliott. I'm seeing a lot of these legacy names on rosters that people have. And I'm sitting there thinking, why? Why have you got Dalvin Cook? Why have you got Ezekiel Elliott? First of all, Ezekiel Elliott, you can comfortably drop. Ezekiel Elliott, even if Ramondre Stevenson gets injured, that Patriots offense is so bad, it is not worth owning Ezekiel Elliott. He is not going to give you a great fantasy volume. He's just not really going to happen. I don't see a pathway to him being better than a low-end RB2. And the same goes for Dalvin Cook. If, for example, we've kind of already seen it, if Breece Hall goes down, Cook will be the lead in a committee, in a poor offense, a really poor offense. There's no upside. There is no upside to Cook. There is no upside to Elliott. The upside in players like Chuba Hubbard, in Rico Dowdle, for example, are much, much higher. So now we're at this just over quarter of a way through the season, the regular season of the NFL season, but even further into the fantasy football season. Let's start thinking about these offenses and thinking about pieces that on the waiver wire and pieces that you can pick up that you want to own. And really, you want to be getting pieces of offenses that are good. That's ultimately it, with a pathway to them being great. So for me right now, Jeff Wilson is a guy I want to add everywhere I can. Devon Achane's out for a few weeks. And because he's a rookie and because he's not a well-established talent on that roster, yes, he's had three great weeks. I said last week I would be trading him and I didn't foresee an injury coming. I'm not Nostradamus. But his ceiling was never going to be better than it was at that point. On Thursday, that was where his ceiling was his absolute peak. And now it's gone. That ceiling is gone. He's injured. He's out for a few weeks. Jeff Wilson's coming back. And when Jeff Wilson comes back, it's him, it's Mostert. Mostert, for a start, looks like a lock. But then I think Jeff Wilson's going to come in and force his way in. It's going to hurt Achane in the long term and the medium term for me. So I think I look at that piece and think, I really want pieces of Jeff Wilson, because if something happens to Mostert this week on Sunday and Jeff Wilson's fit, and we don't know if either of those things are going to happen, but there's a clear path over the next 1 to 2 weeks that if something happens to Mostert, Jeff Wilson becomes the most added running back in fantasy football, because they're a great offense. They're the number one offense in football right now, the Miami Dolphins. You know, they've racked up nearly 1,000 rushing yards this season in five games. They're racking up nearly 186 yards per game on the ground. I want as much of that as I can. Jeff Wilson looks like a really cheap, easy way to buy into it. If he is on your waiver wire, I'd be going to add him right now as a free agent. I'd just add him and stash him. If you've got the space to do it, that is what I would be looking to do. I'm looking at other offenses of pieces that I'd want to be getting pieces of. I'd be looking to get pieces of of Mitchell and then potentially Mason of that 49ers backfield, because we know what has happened with Christian McCaffrey in the past. Yes, he looks unstoppable right now, but if he gets injured, I want the next guy up and I want a big piece of that offense. Jordan Mason looks the cheapest way of getting a piece of that offense if something was to happen. But at the same token, if Elijah Mitchell's free, he looks like he's the next guy up. I'd be looking to get pieces of that offense where possible onto my bench if I had the room to do it. Latavius Murray for the Buffalo Bills. We're already seeing that the Buffalo Bills have a preference to him in the goal line area. If something happened to James Cook, it's Latavius Murray, not Damian Harris, that's going to get that majority of work. And he's someone that we've already got the goal line work and he's already got quite a good amount of usage that we'll just see an uptick in usage. So he's someone that I'm not necessarily desperate to have, but he's a player I'm keeping an eye on. And if I had the room, he's someone I would be looking to add, given how good that Bills offense is. And players that you can drop, you know, players that haven't got that fantasy relevance for you. I've already mentioned Cook. I've already mentioned Ezekiel Elliott. Jamar Gibbs could be one that you could drop. He's a player that might grow more and more, but I don't see the path to him getting huge fantasy weeks, huge value. And at the moment, you can't risk putting him in a lineup. He doesn't have that kind of sustainable value where you can put him in and trust him in a lineup. And so if you've got a player on your bench where you don't see a clear path to them succeeding, and we've had Montgomery out, by the way, and Gibbs didn't do anything, I'm failing to see the attraction. I'm talking redraft. In Dynasty, Gibbs is a hold. But in redraft, unless you can trade him, if you can trade Jamar Gibbs and you can get somebody to pony up something for him, he's a droppable asset for me because I'm not seeing where that ceiling is. I'm not seeing where he's going to be a sustainable RB2 every week. And if I can't see that, I don't see. And even if there was an injury, I still don't see where that ceiling comes. And that's the difference. These are roster clogs. If you've got a player on your bench you've had that you haven't put in your lineup, you have to ask yourself why. Now, if you're holding Rico Dowdle, there's a clear reason why. He doesn't have a pathway to success right now. But if something happened to Tony Pollard next week, yes, okay, the bye's in week 7. But if something was to happen to Tony Pollard and he was out for a sustainable amount of time, Rico Dowdle's going to get all the work. And I want that. There's a clear pathway to success that Rico Dowdle is going to be an RB2 or better if Tony Pollard gets injured. I can't say that about Ezekiel Elliott. I can't say that about Jamar Gibbs. And I can't say that about Dalvin Cook. Now, if you disagree with me, then fine, hold those players. But if you don't disagree with me, those players have to go. They have to go off your roster. They are roster clogs. And if you have them and you're holding them for name recognition only, you're going to struggle. That's the bottom line. You're going to struggle. And the mistakes that people have when they're losing in fantasy football is they hold on to players because they drafted them and they're holding on to them for sentimental reasons. Either which, draft value is dead from the moment the draft ends. It's dead. It doesn't matter. If you drafted a player in the first round who isn't delivering you value and isn't playing, now, okay, that isn't the case this year. But if there was, I'm trying to think back to an example. It might be David Johnson who went at the 101, got injured, and we had this long-standing, is he fit, is he not fit? And we had this long, and he ended up not playing. It was probably the last time I can think of that. But if you have a player that you draft in the first couple of rounds and they're not delivering for you, then you either have to trade them or you have to cut them and you have to find a market for them. Their value changes from the moment the draft ends because there's a new reality. You know, David Montgomery all of a sudden becomes a top, you know, comes in the top three rounds this year. He was going very, very late this year. The same can be said for Brian Robinson. He's a player who would be going much earlier in drafts now than he was where he was going because people didn't think he was the starter. That's where fantasy players make a huge, huge error. Just holding on based on draft value. Oh, well, I drafted him in the third round. I can't drop him. If he's not delivering, you drop him. It's very simple. If you can't see a pathway to him making your team, you have to drop him. It's a really, really, really easy concept. Just get your head around it. We know who the good offenses are in the NFL. Another player you could potentially target is Ronnie Rivers. Now, Ronnie Rivers is a difficult player to hold because he has absolutely no value unless Kyren Williams gets injured. But if Kyren Williams gets injured, Ronnie Rivers is the next guy up, and we've seen that they're running pretty much a 100% running back role in LA. And that's what Kyren Williams has. Therefore, he's going to be the next guy up. There's a pathway to holding him. But it depends how big your bench is and your appetite for that. As I said, as the bye weeks go, players are going to be much harder to hold. So I'm giving you some names here, but some of these names might be owned. Elijah Mitchell's probably one of the big ones where he's owned a lot more than perhaps he should be. And he's a player that is likely to get dropped over the next few weeks because of the fact that people can't justify holding Elijah Mitchell unless because of the fact that he's not playing. He's not got any standalone fantasy value. Rico Dowdle's another one that you can start seeing people drop because they're going to need those spaces for buys. Look ahead to your buys, and it's so much easier. This is a good strategy tip for you to pick up players the week before the buy happens. So if you know your bye week 7 is coming, look at who you can try and pick up for week 7 buys because you have a much smaller market to pull from. And what I mean by that is if you've got 6 teams on buy in week 7, if multiple fantasy owners are targeting week 7 buy cover, your market, and therefore for your fab or even your regular standard claims league, in just in terms of last place gets first pick, etc., in on the waivers, it becomes much harder to get players if there's more fantasy managers that are interested in them. Whereas if you're looking a week ahead, there aren't many fantasy managers that are doing that. So if you were looking at your potential waiver wire cover now, if they're free on your waiver wire, you can add them for free now and then have them on your bench and look 1 week ahead. That's a really good way of staying ahead of the game. There are no buys in week 8, which is really good to know. So that's a good point to get into. And then by week 9, we've got three great offenses in the Lions, the Jags, and the 49ers. And then you've also got the Broncos. So it's a good time to look at bye weeks and think about who we can pick up and manage. So to get ahead of it, look at players now that might cover your week 7, week 6, week 7 buys and start adding them, especially wide receiver position, potentially the running back position as well, if they're free. But I doubt there are many running backs are going to help you out right now until situational changes occur. Other running backs that are clogs, Cam Akers, he can go off your rosters. Zach Moss is a hold right now, but I imagine he's someone that will fade into the sunset pretty soon. The Bears situation is really interesting. I still think Roshon Johnson is the long-term play. It looks like Foreman is going to be the short-term play based on Herbert's injury. That's going to be a bizarre one. I think what this might mean, it could be the end of Herbert's, I don't want to say dominance because it hasn't been dominant, but lead engine, sort of the lead back. I think his role, that role sunsets now. You got to remember Foreman, they valued him enough to keep him, but they haven't valued him enough to even have him on the active game day rosters. So it says to me that he will have a role. What the ideal situation would be, Roshon Johnson's fit this week and Roshon Johnson takes over that role. That would be the ideal, but it could be that Foreman could come in and complicate that for a little bit. But I think if you're the Herbert owner, you have to start thinking that your days could be numbered. They might not be, but it's just one to keep an eye on.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And then the Denver situation, I mean, Javonte Williams has not had a good season at all. Jaleel McLaughlin looks like the better back. Samaje Perine you can cut. He's another roster clog now. If you have Samaje Perine on any of your rosters, he can go. Clearly not getting the opportunity. He's not getting the points. So he's another potential roster clog for you. Zach Charbonnet's pretty close to that line of being a roster clog. There is a clear pathway to him having a lot of success, i.e. Kenneth Walker going. And that's probably what keeps him attractive for a little bit longer. But we're at this point now where we're pretty close to him being a roster clog. So one to keep an eye on. But also if he's dropped, that could be an opportunity because if Kenneth Walker goes down, that's a huge role for Zach Charbonnet to pick up. Having said that, some other roster clogs, Quentin Johnston of the Chargers and JSN of the Seahawks, they are roster clogs. In a redraft format, they probably are best going back out into the pool or trying to trade them for people who see more value in them than you do, and more importantly, I do. So if you can get something for JSN, great, or Johnston, great. If not, they're probably cuttable. In Dynasty, obviously, good holds to have. Offenses I don't really want any more exposure to than the absolute minimum. So I don't want any exposure to Kareem Hunt. I don't think he's worth having at any point. I don't want the backup running back to Rashad White in Tampa. The Buccaneers, I think, have the lowest, I think other than the Bengals, no, they have the lowest amount of rushing yards in the league. Now, they play the game less than most teams, but they're pretty close with the Bengals. So I don't really want part of that. I don't think that's a role I want to really inherit. So Rashad White, I still think, would be fine because he's in the receiving game, but I don't want Keyshawn Vaughn and Sean Tucker. You know, they're not worth owning at all. And I don't really want, unless I'm in a super deep league, I'll take Palmer, but really it's just Evans, Godwin, and White. That's really all you want to own in that offense. The Panthers as well. You know, Thielen is a solid add. It's a solid gain to keep, or solid hold, I should say. DJ Chark is going to have up and down weeks maybe, but I'm not really interested in anyone else in that offense. But I would be interested, given that they do run the ball, Hubbard, if Miles Sanders goes down. Tarjay Spears is a good add. He's getting more and more work in that offense in Tennessee. He could be a really useful add. And again, is a player that come bye weeks. Tennessee's bye week is coming up soon, that they might drop Tarjay Spears. He would be a player I'd be looking to add, again, in case something happens to Henry. Henry is 30, 31 years old. He's sort of over that age now where he's still doing Derrick Henry things, don't get me wrong. But, you know, at the same point, they are trying to get Tarjay Spears more involved. And I think if something happened to Henry, he'd be in for a massive role. I'm not interested in any of the New Orleans backs that aren't named Galvin Kamara. And I'm not really interested in any of the wide receivers not named Chris Olave. And Thomas is a floor play. That offense is pretty poor. Shaheed might get the odd breakaway, but there's not much having there. The Patriots, I don't want anyone in the Patriots offense at all. Kendrick Bourne maybe at an absolute push, but I don't want anyone on that team. That offense is putrid. It's bad. If you've got Ramondre Stevenson, of course you're going to hold him, but again, I think you have to temper expectations of where he's going to be. And this talk that they might bring Zeke Elliott in to do something, I mean, that would just be irritating, and it's certainly not a reason to add Derrick Henry, Zeke Elliott at any point. And then the offenses just get really bad from here. You know, the Jets, that offense is pretty poor. I don't want anyone except Garrett Wilson. Don't even really want Garrett Wilson, but you're kind of stuck with him now. Packers offense was overly efficient, not anywhere near as good now. But if you've got the pieces, you kind of have to stay it out. If you've got AJ Dillon, he's droppable. He's clearly not got a great role in front of him. And I think even with Jones, if Jones goes down, I still don't think it's a great role for Dillon. I think he's one that you can cut and let somebody else inherit that problem. The Vegas Raiders, I think unless you've got Myers, Jacobs, or Adams, the rest can go. There's not any value in owning the backups there. I don't think there's any value to that team their offense is really poor, only 357 rushing yards this season. So there isn't just, there's just not the volume there. Steelers is a messy situation. I even think, you know, I talked a couple of weeks ago, you could add Jaylen Warren because he might overtake Najee Harris. I actually don't even think it matters anymore. I think both of them are pretty bad. And then that offense is just incredibly poor. You know, maybe it changed a little bit with Deontay Johnson, but yeah, there's, if you've got Allen Robinson, Calvin Austin, they could, excuse me. They can come off the roster. They're not offering anything to you whatsoever. The Bengals have been really bad this season. The second worst offense in football as it stands right now. But their difference is they have playmakers. It will change. It will get better for the Bengals. But does it happen too late? So Tyler Boyd, for me, looks like a worthy add. He's a player I would be scooping up in PPR leagues because I think there's some value to him. But I wouldn't be owning the backup to Mixon at the moment. I'd be sitting there just letting things play out. The Giants situation is just bizarre. Yeah, we're waiting for Barkley to come back and they'll be better with Barkley. But really, outside of Barkley, Wandale Robinson's probably the only player in a PPR floor play, might be the only one to get you through some bye weeks. I'm not interested in Hyatt. I'm not interested in Slayton. I'm not interested in any of those players. They're not doing it. They haven't. They've had all this opportunity, all this time to do something and haven't. They're the worst team in football offensively, the Giants. So don't own pieces of them. They're not worth chasing. If you've got Matt Breida, Matt Breida hasn't really taken advantage of the situation with Barkley out. Part of that is usage, which tells you everything you need to know. And part of that is just the fact that that offense is bad. It doesn't move well. It's not got, unless it's got a generational player, it's not going to do well. And that is where we are with the Giants. And so Matt Breida isn't that. Matt Breida is not going to get many opportunities. So I would be looking to get out of that business once we know that Barkley is back. And I think you just have to be ruthless now. My tip for you this week would be to look at your roster and look at each player on your bench and say, I would play him if, and if you can't find a reason, a solid reason, that player has to go and you have to refresh your roster and over the next couple of weeks, be really smart with your waiver claims. And again, look at opportunities, look at players that you can claim that aren't very well owned right now, because they're the ones you're going to want to really maximize. Those sleeper picks with high potential value. And therein lies what we're trying to achieve here. So, you know, forget about the players that are name recognized only and start thinking about players who are going to see success. So like DeMercado for me was just like an absolute flag. And the same goes for Williams. I'm not looking at Jameson Williams and thinking I want a piece of him because he hasn't done anything in the NFL. He hasn't done anything. Like, yes, he's a first round talent and there's a pathway to him maybe doing all right. Josh Reynolds has done pretty well. I like adding Zay Jones. I'm going to give you some names now, some players who I would start targeting and their percentages owned, right? So Zay Jones, 35% owned. I like Zay Jones. I think he gets back ahead of of Christian Kirk. Wait to be seen, but I think he probably gets ahead of him. He's a player I'd look to add. I'd look to add Kenneth Gainwell, 33.2% owned. We know that if something was to happen there to DeAndre Swift, Gainwell would be the immediate beneficiary to that. And he holds standalone flex value. So I'd be looking to have him. Tajay Spears, 32.7% owned. Yes, there's a bye week coming up. Yes, you're going to have to cover that. But again, I think it's a cheap ad. I'd be looking to add him. I'm just looking through. Josh Reynolds, 26.5% owned. Now, Josh Reynolds at 26.5% owned, I think, has much better ceiling options than Jameson Williams. I think he has much better ceiling options. He's in the offense. He's already doing things. He's already the wide receiver 28 on the season. Jameson Williams, the wide receiver 151. I think Josh Reynolds has proven that he holds that role. So I would keep him. I would keep him or I would be picking him up if he's free. Logan Thomas has had a couple of good games. He has a pathway to being a decent mid tight end one. I'd be looking to add him if I had periods to go in there and add him, because I think he is a player who is on the ascendancy. I would certainly be looking to pick him up if I needed a tight end or tight end cover over the next few weeks. I think you can cut Robert Woods. Robert Woods' ownership is hovering around about 21%. I think you can cut that. It's clearly he's not getting the ball as opposed to Tank Dell and Nico Collins. So I think he is in that cuttable range. I'd keep an eye on people that drop Jaden Reed. 22.4% owned. People might have cut him this week because he's on bye and he's not done loads. He's the wide receiver 46, but they are force feeding him targets. Yes, the last outing wasn't particularly good. And yes, this offense isn't particularly good. But however, I think there is a pathway to him being a reasonable wide receiver return. I'm not too excited on him. I'm not going absolutely nuts, but I think in a league where you're desperate at the wide receiver position, he could be a really interesting add. I would probably focus more on Josh Downs. He's 19.7% owned currently and a player you could probably pick up for free. Given that Gardner Minshew is in the lineup and they're going to throw a lot more for what potentially would be the next four games, then give me Josh Downs. I think he's going to see a lot more targets. We saw it when Minshew came into the game at the weekend. His usage went through the roof. So he's a player I would certainly be interested in adding going forward. Talked about Chuba Hubbard. He's available in over 80% of leagues, 17.8% owned. He's a player I would be looking to potentially add on. I think he has decent RB2 value if Miles Sanders goes down. I'm just looking through names here. I'm trying to give you names of players who I think are worth picking up and holding on to or adding. Tank Bigsby is an interesting one, 10.8% owned. In his own right, doesn't really have a role. But again, if something happened to Travis Etienne, I'd want to be buying a cheap piece of that offense. If you've got room to stash an RB, I would still have Dowdle first. I'd still have a few other running backs. But Tank Bigsby is one I'd definitely be keeping an eye on. You need a short-term play this week. Donta Foreman is it, 10.3% owned. Donta Foreman will probably be the lead back this week, given how banged up everyone else is. But I still expect there to be Roshon Johnson that takes over that. We're just kind of waiting for that to happen in that offense. But we'll see what happens. I'm just looking to see if there's... Anyways, people talk to me about Van Jefferson. Do I add Van Jefferson? Absolutely not. I don't want to add any pieces of the Falcons if I can avoid it. Just get out of the Falcons business altogether if you can. I'm just seeing if there's anyone else worth adding. See, here's the thing. The crazy thing is, if something happened to Montgomery, then Craig Reynolds would be the guy, but I wouldn't really be looking to overly activate him. He had not a bad week this week. Just seeing if there's anyone else that screams out to me. I talked about Jordan Mason. He had a good week this week. He's 0.8% owned. He should be available in all leagues. He's a player that I can see a high ceiling if something was to happen to Christian McCaffrey. So he's a player I'd definitely be looking to get in on. Yeah, I think that's about it. I'm just looking now. I think that is probably about it for sort of the deep sleepers. I'm just seeing if there is anyone else that I might have missed. I don't think so. I think I've covered off all the names here that I want to go at. I think there's some good names to look at with some good opportunity for you and players that are potentially going to add something to your fantasy lineup. So, you know, keep an eye on those. QB situation, don't roster a backup QB. Just get one in for your bye week and then drop them because the QB floor is okay and the QB ceiling is limited. So, yeah, you don't need to be holding. So let's talk about bench management and I'll wrap it up here because I've already gone longer than I thought I would. So if I have a bench, let's say five or six, I wouldn't be having a backup QB unless my QB was on bye. I would have backup tight end again, similar reason, unless my tight end was on bye and I wanted to hold my tight end. And then I'd be stocked with running backs, maybe one wide receiver. Just having a look at, or maybe again, if I've got six spots, ideally my ideal roster construction for my bench would be four running backs and two wide receivers because the ceiling to the running back is so much better. So if I can get myself a couple of those really big adds, or I've got a deeper squad of running backs because of those injuries and I've got some cool guys I already want to own, yeah, the 4-2 on a six-man bench is kind of where I am with a ratio. And then if I need to cut a guy for a quarterback, for a tight end, then I will do that. But it might likely be, if I had to do both in the same week, I'd most likely cut a wide receiver, running back. If not, it might just be one running back and then see if I can add them back at a later date. That's what I'm looking to do from a strategy perspective. I'm looking for maximum opportunity from the best offenses that I can buy in on really cheap. So I'm buying in on the player. I don't want all these players I just listed. I didn't list Patriot players, didn't list Jets players, I didn't list Steeler players. There's a reason I don't want in on those offenses. I don't want in on the Bucs offense. I don't want in on offenses that aren't producing high levels of volume. I want to buy in on players that I can get in at now at a good price. Tutu Atwell might be a player that is still free in your leagues. He's a player I want to get in on. The ceiling's so much dented with Cooper Kupp back. But having said that, he has got the unique skill set of the three. He's the one I can see elevating into that Robert Woods role of a few years ago to be the complementary away from Nacua and Kupp, because they're very similar stylistic players. So roster construction, have as many running backs as you can, but don't be exclusively running backs. You need wide receivers. I've listed some wide receivers here. Get a notepad and pen out. Rewind this podcast. Listen to some players I've talked about. But look at opportunities where you can buy in. And when it comes to trading, try and trade some of those roster clogs if you can. If you feel like there's enough standalone value that someone will take one off you. If someone can take an Ezekiel Elliott off you, if they're a Patriots fan or a Cowboys fan, or if someone can take a Dalvin Cook off you for name value alone, you know, see what you get for them. Don't expect the moon, but see what you can get for them, because it's well worth trying to explore that situation. If you've got a play, if you've got a team that, let's say you need wins now and you've lost Justin Jefferson, trade him. See what you can get for him. Yes, the ceiling isn't going to be as high, but if you can't afford to wait for Justin Jefferson to get back, then you know you need to trade him. And you need to get replaceable pieces in now that are going to give you wins. I'm talking about if you've got one win, zero wins, maybe even two wins. If you got more than that, you're okay. I think two wins, you're still okay, but you're at that precipice now of, if you go 2-6, you're not going anywhere. So you need to think about course correction. If you've lost a player, you might need to trade them, then trade them. You might get less than their overall value, but ultimately, if you can get a replacement value in now that's going to steer you towards victory because they're better than what you've currently got, that's still a win. That's still picking up points now, and it will even out the trade. So in that scenario, say Justin Jefferson for Mike Evans, for example. If you can get Mike Evans for Justin Jefferson, I would do that trade. Mike Evans is going to give you replaceable points now. He's had his bye week. That's the other key thing. He's had his bye week. So trading with players that have already had bye weeks, you're buying extra games. So if you're looking to get Amari Cooper, if you're looking to get Mike Evans, you know, they're good players to go and target. DK Metcalf. You're not going to get Keenan Allen, but let's say you did. You know, those players have had their bye weeks, so you're buying an extra week. There is value in that. So even though the Justin Jefferson for Mike Evans doesn't look like an even trade, if you're trading away Jefferson, the fact is Justin Jefferson is out and he's got a bye week to come in week 13. That might be a game that you might need to get into the playoffs. It's important strategy play. So I'm okay doing that deal now. If I think Jefferson's missing 2, 3, 4 weeks, I'm okay with that, because you tack the bye week onto that, it's 3, 4, 5 weeks. And I've got a player in Mike Evans now who's there. So that's my strategy advice. If you need wins now and you need to manufacture wins and you've got a high profile player who is out for the next few weeks, trading them now, get something in return that's better than what you've already got. And then stockpile players who have an ascendancy to good positions on good offenses. Jeff Wilson Jr., Rico Dowdle, etc. And I've said the names. I'll keep going through them. That's going to do it. I hope this made sense. I hope it's something that's been useful to all of you. Please do get in touch with me. I'm happy to talk through scenarios. with you. I apologize immensely for missing the waiver wire. I do hope that this podcast is a suitable enough apology for missing the waiver wire podcast this week. I hope it won't happen again this season. Actually, I am going to take some leave. I will make sure there's appropriate cover for that. This was a bit more last minute. But hope you're all well. I'm looking forward to talking with stocks tomorrow night. We'll get into more of this strategy stuff. It's really key to be different and to think differently of ways to get out of situations. And that's what we're proposing. And that's what we're hoping to do with you all. So enjoy the show. Hope this was useful. Get in touch with me at Murph_NFL. I look forward to talking with you all tomorrow. Join in tomorrow. It'll be live. Join in on the Facebook, on YouTube. On Twitter, we don't see the live questions. So join on YouTube, join on Facebook, and then post us questions. I will take as many questions tomorrow night as I can from you all. So if you listen to this, it's thought-provoking. You're thinking, oh, how do I structure my bench? You know, let's try and do it on air. Get in touch. Let's go through it. And you'll have Stocks' mind as well. He's a pretty good and sharp fantasy mind. Two heads are definitely better than one. And you might get contrarian answers, but that should lead you to the right opinion just through the discussion alone. All right. Catch you all on the flip side. Thank you very much. And don't forget, as always, keep rushing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.